how can we make this fun and refreshing product and really shake up a stale category along the way? And as we researched other iced teas on the market and what other brands were doing, we realized that the average age of the top iced tea brands in this country is almost 50 years old. So there hadn't really been any innovation in this space.
I'm your host, Dave Knox, and this is Predicting the Turn, a show that helps business leaders meet their industry's inevitable disruption head on.
Welcome to another episode of Predicting the Turn. Today, we sit down with Mike Lombardo, who is the founder of Half Day. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for having me.
So I want to start with the origin story. What inspired you to launch Half Day?
Yeah, Half Day was really started because my co-founder and one of my best friends growing up, Kayvon, was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis when he was just 18. And throughout that journey of trying to improve his microbiome, he started experimenting with prebiotics to help improve his overall gut health. And through that journey, he ended up mixing prebiotics into these teas that he was making every day. And one summer, he put that into an iced tea format. It was history from there.
So he was doing it at home. What was that moment you realized there might be a business opportunity that you should package this up and make something out of it?
So we were actually, what I think is interesting about the origin story is that it started from this like just natural place. So Kayvon and I were just hanging out and he shared this tea with me. We thought it tasted really good and we thought it was maybe something that other people might enjoy. So we had this idea to take it to a farmer's market and see if we could sell it there. Maybe that would count as like an internship over the summer because we were still in college at the time. And going from expanding from that moment, we had this realization that there weren't any other iced teas out in the market that really spoke to us as millennial consumers. And so we had started in this authentic way of us just trying to find something that we really resonated with and we really enjoyed. And from there, it became like, how can we make this fun and refreshing product and really shake up a stale category along the way? And as we researched, you know, other iced teas on the market and what other brands were doing, we realized that the average age of the top iced tea brands in this country is almost 50 years old. So there hadn't really been any innovation in this space. And that resonated with us as well as something that maybe we could shake up. And then as we dug into the data, it just showed that that was the case. And then the real kicker to it all was when we realized that 95% of Americans weren't getting enough fiber in their diet, and over half of the sugar consumption in the U.S. comes from beverages. So it all culminated into this opportunity that we stumbled into just from Kayvon experimenting with these things in his kitchen.
Over the last, call it half decade, prebiotics have really taken off in pop culture overall with beverages and supplements and pretty much everything thinking about that inclusion. Why do you guys believe so strongly that incorporate into beverage is that perfect choice as a form factor?
So I think that there's a lot of reasons that beverage is a good form factor for it. I think one of them is just that it's something people want to consume on a regular basis. People find their drink and they enjoy that regularly. So it's a really easy way to work these things into your routine. And when you look at the iced tea category, it's a large category. It's worth almost $8 billion in the U.S. alone. And so it's one that's being consumed regularly. And then if you think about the consumption occasion of iced tea, it's for refreshment for the most part. It's a leisure occasion. And so people want that. And when they're looking at these beverages and consuming them, I think it's just a really good opportunity to squeeze out some functionality in the mix with that. And then I have a funny story. I think about this a lot. When we started the brand and we ended up diving into this prebiotic space, I remembered growing up, my mom would always drink like Benefiber every night and she'd mix it in water and I'd watch the look on her face as she grimaced to get everything down. And I remember I was a young kid and I was like, man, why are you doing that to yourself? But as I grew up, I realized that there's a lot of benefit to some level of nutrients and supplements like that. So I think the beauty of a product like ours is it's a delicious way to incorporate these fiber ingredients that I remember my mom specifically when I was growing up, and just think about like how everything's changed so the consumer can really more so enjoy and get these ingredients into their diet in a way that tastes great.
In the early days, as you were just launching the business, how did you go about finding the co-packer and the manufacturer and take this great at-home invention and turn it into something that could be on retail shelves?
That was a crazy journey. So we didn't actually know anything about this space when we started it. So we started Googling it and we actually, we Googled it and we found a can supplier who we thought was going to be able to be a manufacturer just because it said, like, we Googled like bottlers near me. We didn't know what the right terminology was. We didn't know what co-packers were. And from one conversation to another, we eventually started to piece together a supply chain and understand the industry and what it takes to put something like this into a can and take it to the consumer. That journey was really crazy. So that was, we were experimenting a lot in, I would say, from like 2017 all the way until the brand launched in 2021, just trying to understand everything that it took to make a product like this. And by the time, when it came time to launch, we had actually found a co-packer through just some conversations that we had, and they were able to squeeze us into their schedule. And if we didn't hit that window, we wouldn't have been able to launch in time with the retail partner that was picking the brand up. So it was a crazy window. We had a 6-week window to piece together something that went from a benchtop formula into a commercialized formula that could go to a co-packer and be manufactured at scale.
Talking about that window, what was that first major retail deal and how did it come about?
Yeah, so I always tell people this, and it's crazy. It's one of the reasons I have so much respect for Kayvon, just not only as a friend, but as a co-founder. So when we started this brand, we didn't start the brand in a kitchen or a dorm room or a lab. I always tell everybody we actually started in a hospital bed. That first retailer that we sold into, Kayvon was actually recovering from some operations that he had gotten to help hopefully cure his ulcerative colitis. And he was literally in the hospital sending messages on LinkedIn to retailers in the Philadelphia market and just seeing if anyone would bite. And this retailer called Giant in our market, they reached out and they loved the concept. And we pitched them while I was home and Kayvon was in the hospital off camera. We presented them what we were building and they loved the concept. They hadn't even had samples. And they were like, we are resetting this category in 6 weeks. Can you have it here? And we said yes. And that was what kicked off that crazy scramble to try to make the product because it didn't actually truly exist besides what we had been making samples of.
You mentioned earlier that when you looked at this category, there really hadn't been major brands launched in quite a long time when you look at tea and what's on shelf. But you guys also just did a kind of a modern rebrand. What led you to those choices and how's it been going so far?
The rebrand was super important to do when we did it. So the rebrand started about a little over a year ago. And at that time, we were going from around 2,000 to 7,000 doors. And that happened over about a 6-month period. So when that happens, like, you see a lot, you get to see your product in the market, you get to see it in more consumer hands. And you just realize there's certain things that can adapt and grow just to better impact. And we felt we could do a better job showing who we are, what we do, why you should drink Half Day over other sugary iced teas, and so on. And we decided it was important to go through this journey sooner rather than later. It takes time. Like I said, it took over a year from the initial realization that we wanted the rebrand to getting it in the market. But it was really important to us that we did a better job of communicating our value to the consumer, making a brand that felt timeless and just better resonated with our core demo. And most importantly, I didn't want it to feel novelty or gimmicky, but rather like a staple beverage in your life. And so there were just certain elements that we felt needed to be updated and premiumized and polished as the brand grew.
Talent is a big part of predicting the turn. And as we talk about talent, I wanted to mention one of our sponsors, Hunt Club. Imagine the power of the best marketers in the world helping you to find your next marketing leader. That's the power of Hunt Club. Hunt Club is a new category of talent company that powers the network of experts, connectors, and business leaders to help you find the best talent. Let's face it, recruiting hasn't changed with the times. Hunt Club is changing the recruiting game by leveraging technology and crowdsourced referrals to find you the best people possible for your company. Stop paying job boards that don't work or recruiting firms that recycle the same active candidates. Partner with Hunt Club.
Talking about the brand growing, what's been your strategy from a flavor innovation standpoint? Where'd you start and where are you guys going?
When we started, Kayvon and I actually just Googled the top selling iced tea flavors and we found some random website that had what looked like to be pretty accurate data on that was probably, yeah, it was probably pretty close. And when you looked at that, we found that the top three flavors were, there was lemon iced teas, peach iced teas in the mix, and then there was green tea with honey and ginseng. And so we felt like that was the best place to start. Let's start with the top three flavors. We wanted three SKUs. Two didn't feel like enough to build a brand block on shelf. Four felt like more complicated supply chain and logistics at our stage when it was just Kayvon and I. So we went with the top three, and then we expanded from there, just looking at the top flavors of iced tea that we could innovate upon. And so that's led to the flavors that we have now. So we ended up launching a raspberry a couple years in, and then we've recently launched a sweet tea with only five grams of sugar, and a classic half and half, that's iced tea lemonade, also with only 5 grams of sugar.
With those new flavors, how do you think about where you go next as you decide on innovations and what you want to do for the product?
I think the fun part about innovating in a category is that you can have fun with the flavors that you're making. So we don't have to stick to just the top selling iced tea flavors. Those will always be in the mix and important to us, but we can also have some fun with it. So we have a fun limited edition flavor coming out this summer exclusively with Whole Foods. So that, as an example, is it's a little bit left to center when it comes to a classic iced tea flavor, but it fits really well in that flavor profile. And I think people are really going to like it. So that's how we see it. It's if we're going to innovate on the category, we're allowed to introduce flavors that are going to become the new classic iced tea flavors for the next generation.
Now, when you think about that next generation of consumers, iced tea is one of those that has regionality to it and also generational things to it. How's your marketing approach those kind of differences for the consumer set?
So I think it's a really interesting question because we're carried nationally in a lot of these retailers, and we've seen the data where a sweet tea does really well in more southern states where it's a more popular flavor. And I think that's interesting because it inspires some of the marketing activations and things that we'll do around it. So with a name like Half Day, we always love getting out there and being in the hands of consumers where they're at. It just makes sense as it's got a little bit of an active ring to it and just getting out and enjoying the day. And so I always think about like, how can we activate around flavor specific locations that are popular with specific flavors? So to give an example, last week we had sent product to the Masters where we had some friends of the brand that were doing their activation around it as a golf brand. And a half and half is like notoriously popular golf flavor popularized by someone that I don't know if I'm allowed to say for trademark or copyright reasons or whatever, but everyone knows the golfer that popularized that flavor. And so it was like, it makes sense to send that flavor to that sort of event. And I think that's like a good example of how we think about activating the brand and activating around flavors.
When you talk about your origin story, the two of you weren't 25-year industry veterans in the beverage space. You really came in with this challenger mindset. What freedom do you think that's allowed you to approach things differently?
So I always feel like there was a lot of challenges to having no industry experience, but there was a really big benefit. I think the biggest benefit of all is that we had no idea how hard it would be to build this thing. And I almost wonder if we had been working in the industry for a few years, if we wouldn't have given it a shot. But instead, we didn't know any better. We were just having fun with it. And we just had a big appetite for what we thought we could accomplish with the brand. And so I think that was like the biggest thing, was just not really worrying so much about failure and more so just worrying about making something that we were excited about and that we thought other people would like, and then just keeping going, just not giving up on that. I think not having industry experience really worked in our favor in that regard. I also think it allows you to open up conversations. Like, people want to be helpful. And so we would reach out to people all the time and just say, hey, we're new to this. We're excited. Here's what we're working on. You look like you have experience with this. Would you mind chatting? And that, again, one conversation leads to another. And eventually you've built out a network of people. And people love to be able to say that they helped out with something that they think is interesting. And if you're excited about it, they'll get excited about it. And so there's also just this openness to people to chatting about it and getting, you can build your network really well by just admitting that you don't know, but you're excited to learn and people are willing to help.
With that in mind, how's that shaped your viewpoint of building your team as the company has grown beyond just the two of you to an entire team that's bringing Half Day to life?
Yeah, it started out with just Kayvon and I, but we always knew that you don't know what you don't know. And that, I think, was an important thing to just be mindful of. So we always had tapped into anyone that was willing to help and provide feedback and advice. And what ends up happening is you build these relationships, and as years go by and you're ready to start building your team, those very same people will want to join the team. And I think that's important. And also just like building a good culture and a good rapport. You have people that have been there and seen it when you were just starting it out, who've seen you grow, and they're excited and they're happy they were able to contribute to it, and they'll join the team and help keep building it. So we always wanted to surround ourselves with people with more experience than us. I've just found that when we hire, I don't want to hire anyone that can do the same thing I can do. I want them to do it better or differently, or just have a different approach. And so I think that's been like a really good way to think about it.
As you think about where the business is headed, how are consumer behaviors playing into your innovation choices or just the general growth of the business?
I think one of the things that I've always found interesting is that flavor matters a lot. And I think when we were first getting into the industry, maybe that wasn't always the rhetoric. It was make something people that like serves a purpose for people, but like flavor wasn't as maybe on the forefront of what brands were worried about providing. But now I think it's less about something like zero sugar, where it's like really easy to slap on a marketing claim of zero sugar, right? You can really push that, but it's more about a healthy balance. So there was a time where functional benefits or product attributes or dietary preferences were enough to win over the consumer, but now the product needs to taste good too. So consumers are becoming willing to accept a little bit of sugar if it means a substantially better product experience. So for us, for example, we've always been open to our sugar content ranging, for the sake of not saying zero, I'll say anywhere from 1 to 5 grams, right? We just felt like anywhere in that range, it's just enough to provide, to really move the needle on the flavor profile and provide a nice, like full iced tea flavor, but it's not so much that it's off-putting to a consumer that wants to reduce their sugar intake. And then I think another thing that's interesting is this, the importance of prebiotics right now. So consumers are really starting to understand what prebiotics are and what gut health is, and we're seeing it everywhere. And our new packaging calls that out. Right on front of pack, we have prebiotic. Our formula was updated to have multiple sources of prebiotics. I think those are all really important things and meeting the consumer where they are at with that regard.
You mentioned the new flavor coming this summer with all of your retailers. What else is on the horizon as you look for the next 1 to 2 years for the business?
So I think there's this new flavor coming up. We have some multi-pack formats, which is exciting. As we grow the brand, consumers want to be able to buy more than a handful of cans. So we have 4 packs rolling out nationally with a number of retailers. So we have some new retailer launches. We just recently launched in Big Geyser in New York City, which is, you know, the best distributor there. And it's a market where ready to drink tea was basically built. So I think that's a really exciting one. And then there's also a lot on the marketing front that's super exciting. So we have consumers, they'll be hearing from us more on the content and marketing activations front. We just did something recently where we're really leaning into the brand name and really leaning into this tagline that we created of make a break for it. And so we have activations and content around it. We just conducted a survey where we found that over half of US workers feel guilt about taking time off. And we decided it would be really fun to put out this like PSA where we encourage people to take PTO, and we're giving 100 nominees cash so that they can make the most of their time off. And it's been really exciting. In the first few days, we had almost 1,000 submissions. This was a kind of a test of the concept to see how it resonated with people. So it's really good impact right at the jump. And so I think that's really fun, being able to lean into the brand name and have fun with this idea of half days.
That's a super cool marketing kind of twist on it.
Thank you.
Yeah. So really appreciate you sharing the story of everything you guys have built. It's an amazing brand and exciting innovation in the space.
Thank you, Dave. Yeah, it's really exciting to share all this.
Thanks so much for listening. If you like the show, hit that rating and make sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And for more resources, head over to predictingtheturn.com.